It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
But what do you do with that? How do you play off Italian stallion? You're not putting horse meat on it, are you?
Horse meat.
There you go. A stallion, what?
Okay.
I said you're not doing that.
That's right.
To be clear. I did not encourage putting horse meat on this hot dog.
Hold on, here's my hottest take of all time. No one's going to complain about the sun at night.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Another nice day on the way today. They're all nice days.
There's just no such thing as a bad weather day at this point.
High of 74, looking like mid-70s, 60s tomorrow, 70s again.
I mean, I did mulch yesterday. That's how nice the weather is.
Do you mulch? You mulch this time of year?
No, but we had our front lawn torn up because of sewage line repairs, and there was a giant hole in the ground, so we had to rebuild the garden a little bit.
All right.
So no, I don't think most people would mulch in October.
Yard work, though. Hey, by the way, happy October. October 1st.
Yes.
Best month?
Let's go. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
Top three.
Is it even debatable that October is the best month?
What are the candidates? June?
June is good.
May is good. October, you've got the NFL, baseball playoffs, NBA and NHL. Well, NHL definitely gets started.
NBA, I think, gets started in October.
A little bit mid-October, mid-late October. College football rolling.
December, though?
Yeah,
the holidays.
Can't be December.
It can't be December.
Really? October's got redeemable weather. December's,
Yeah, like, and I like the winter months, but it's
I like daylight, too.
Oh, that's true.
We do daylight.
Daylight.
I mean, and as it's dark out right
isn't
now.
Isn't December,
the middle of the night.
By the way, October 22nd, the NBA season, so you do get that, too.
Okay, good.
Isn't December, like, the winter month that might even be the worst for weather? Because is it even really snowing yet? All the time? Is it more just that gross slop on the side of the road and it's always 38 and little rainy drizzle, like it's not even really snowing? Do I have that wrong? That's how I have it in my
head. I think of that as like March, but you might be right.
The December's kind of turned into like a wannabe March.
Yeah.
Maybe. Could it be March?
October's can't be March.
March Madness? You got St. Paddy's Day.
March has the most trash weather of any month. The worst. Can't be March. Spring stinks. Fall's great. Spring stinks.
Because October is probably one of the best weather months. And I think. I would feel comfortable saying that. You have all the sports going on.
Yep.
You've got, I mean, if you're into your pumpkin spice lattes and whatnot, you know, the whole pumpkin vibe of the month. Halloween later on. This is a better month for decorations. I like Halloween decorations more than Christmas decorations.
You like Halloween more than Christmas.
I don't want to say that. I think I like the Halloween
decorations.
Decorations. Christmas, I feel like we're in a box. It's like the same five decorations. Whereas Halloween, like I passed a house yesterday while walking the dog where there is like it's a stand in the person's front yard and it's like a clown. It's like an evil-looking clown that's like with an ice cream cone or something. It's like an ice cream stand.
Yeah, you can just do that to your lawn for Halloween.
It could be anything as long as it's kind of creepy. Christmas, it's like candy canes, Santa Claus, Christmas tree.
You know what?
Bam.
I'm putting in the front yard of my house for Halloween this year. It's going to be a display replaying the Bills trick play from Sunday night. People will walk by. What is that?
Actually, wouldn't that be pretty good if you got blown up screenshots of like the worst plays in franchise history?
Yes. Here's McKelvin fumbling against the Patriots.
Here's like pre-snap 13 seconds against the Chiefs. The Norwood kick and Joe Brady's call on Sunday.
Yeah.
Those. Yep.
That's the most terrifying front yard.
Put
them
up in the front lawn.
Is that the Mount Rushmore of bad plays?
I don't think Sunday's quite Mount Rushmore.
Well, I also think
listed four.
I also don't think.
Yeah, it was
Norwood's
first on the brain.
Is not a bad play. That's just a play that didn't go your way. I mean, he tried to kick and he missed. Kickers miss kicks. Versus a bad play is what on earth are you doing?
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
There's heartbreaking plays, and then there's scary plays.
Right.
Like when.
Right, because 13 seconds is like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah, which is what Sunday
How
is.
Could this have happened?
Yeah, what's another one where you're just screaming at the television? What on earth are you. I mean,
the butt fumble.
The butt fumble
is one. Yep. And the Bills don't have a butt fumble, but the Losman fumble in New York where they scooped and scored it when all they had to do run out the clock, that's up there.
Yeah. There is a very like under the radar play, which is like a finale that didn't matter against the Jets, where the Bills kick returners just stared at a ball like in the end zone.
Was it Mike Gillisley?
Mike Gillisley. Yeah. Just let the Jets recover it.
What are the Bills doing?
The announcer.
Yep.
Allen in the playoff game against Houston lateraling the ball to Dawson Knox in the moment felt like that, but that's not quite like a. Do we have any Will Levis plays in our history? More like not even the play design, just like the quarterback or somebody on the team just deciding to do something outrageous. Someone running out of bounds on fourth down. Did Bledsoe do that? Did Bledsoe and Edwards do that, actually?
I think yes.
Okay. Maybe those would qualify a little bit for this as well.
Yeah.
Maybe Sunday is on the Mount Rushmore for that. Like, what on earth are you doing?
So Joe Brady showed accountability for that play, right? We heard that's what I read, because he said it was a bad call.
I guess he also didn't blame his players, which, I mean, you could have. Doug Peterson did that, I guess.
That's right. He said execution is the problem, not play calling.
Yeah. So
he was defending his offensive coordinator, Press Taylor.
Yeah. So Brady could have done that, but he did not. I guess.
Wouldn't accountability on that? I'm not. Whatever. I need to like rake Joe Brady over the coals. He made a bad call, but. Wouldn't he say, I thought it was a good call? Instead of just saying, yes, it was a bad call. His quote about it is that he needs more of a feel in that moment. Like, okay, but in that moment, what you felt was, you should do this. It's how is it that much different than Sean McDermott deciding, now is the time to punt. That's what I think is the right play here. I mean, Joe Brady... That call didn't sneak up on him. They would have practiced it. They would have.
Oh, yeah. He also didn't take accountability for the play being bad, by the way. He took accountability for the timing of the play being bad.
It is not.
The play call itself.
It is not his fault the play blew up the way that it did. It was executed poorly. In theory, Curtis Samuel's not going to get destroyed on with a guy in his face right away. Allen's not going to get stripped and blasted. Like, so the execution of the play doesn't look anything like it went. But we're all mad about why would you even call it? Or how could that even have a place in that, you would say in that moment, whatever you want to say. Trick plays, when they go sideways, look pretty darn stupid. Whereas if you just drop back and throw an incompletion and Allen gets blasted, actually then you'd get a roughing the passer call, but you don't in this situation.
Because he's out of the pocket?
Because he's not even once you receive a pitch, you are a runner.
Okay.
So that eliminates a roughing the passer call on that play.
Right.
From what I understand. Anyway, because he got blasted. I just think it's kind of interesting that, he said it was a bad call. All right, but why did you think it was good?
I want to know what we still don't know what the right execution looks like for that
play. It looks like him heaving it to the end zone to Mac Hollins. There's no doubt that's got to be it.
It's not there. Well, like, good luck.
Sure, sometimes you call a pass and it's covered, but you're trying something.
If
that falls as an incomplete pass, we're not mad about it.
And
all right, fine.
I do understand why and maybe you even would talk with McDermott in this way or talk with whoever, Allen, and think that, okay, the timing is really the problem there. I don't care about the timing personally. If they had called, I would not have minded a trick play there. If you told me in that situation right before the snap, hey, they're going to run a trick play here, I'd be like, oh, okay, fine, cool. That they have not run one in a while. Trick plays do work a good amount of the time.
Hit one last night.
Detroit hit a hook and ladder, right?
They hit the Philly special. No, Seattle hit hook and ladder, and Detroit hit the Philly special.
Right. Detroit hit a hook and ladder last week.
Yes.
And then
Seattle did it
back to them. I am, by the way, here for more hook and ladders in the NFL. It feels like this should be happening more often.
I agree.
They work like every time.
Yeah. It's hard to defend.
Yeah. I personally, I bet I'm in the minority here in this. I personally do not mind at all they called a trick play in that exact situation. I just think the play stunk.
Yeah.
The play itself stinks. He's talking like they're going to call it again sometime later in the season. I would bury that play in their backyard. Just do not ever try a different one. That is not, I don't know that play is ever going to be executed the way they think.
Here's one of Brady's quotes on this. Not just a bad play call because of the result of the play. But I try to pride myself on the feel, the flow of the game. Even if we're able to get that off, and even if we're able to do anything with it, it wasn't the right timing for the play. I got to have a better feel and understanding. It's kind of an odd thing to say. Even if it worked, it was wrong. That's McDermott saying that. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong call there. You've got to know that's the wrong call. Even if it worked, it's not the right timing.
I'd like to know when they think the right timing is for a trick play.
Up 60? That might be the only spot McDermott is comfortable for that. Like I said, I don't know how long we want to go in on this play, but Brady's comments yesterday struck me as a guy that was told by his boss, like, don't do that again. That was a horrible play. He says, yeah, you're right. That was a horrible idea. The timing of it was terrible. Yeah, you're right. The timing of it was terrible. Even if it had worked. Even if it had worked. Yeah. Why would you say even if it worked, it was bad?
Hey,
it didn't work
strange.
Out. My bad. My mistake. Like, it's a strange thing to say. But here we are.
Am I right thinking, like, when Dable would run trick plays, that it would often be, like, right away? Like the Houston playoff game, it is opening drive.
First halves, sure.
I just looked up the Cowboys game where John Brown threw a touchdown to Devin Singletary. They were up 13-7 in the second quarter.
Okay. We know the Texans playoff game throwback to Allen is the opening drive.
I think the Cardinal one was an opening drive. Like how often did they...
I don't know the Cardinal one.
The Cardinal one is, I think, McKenzie throwing it to Allen in the end zone. Allen's got a couple. I think the only one I can remember being like in the second half is the one we talked about yesterday that didn't work against Pittsburgh.
Wouldn't you say, without even like looking at a study of when trick plays are run, wouldn't you say they're most likely to be, I mean, the Eagles did it in the Super Bowl for the game-winning score, so that's, you know, that's one thing.
But
down 10 versus up 10, don't you feel like you see a lot more when you're up 10? Down 7 versus up 7.
Yeah, right?
Here are the Lions. The Lions throwback happens. They're up 7.
In the third quarter.
In the third quarter on second and goal. The Bills are already in real trouble in this game and trying to find a way back in and having success.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It feels like it's a, we're up, we're going to get a little, we know you might be desperate and overchase something, so we're going to try and do a little trickeration on you here.
Rather than we're desperate, we're having trouble doing things, and you might be more on alert for other guys, look out, they could try anything here because nothing's working for them, right? Like, expect something different. Yeah, I might agree. I might think that makes sense, and that... Again, like just looking up a couple of plays that usually seems to be like how the Bills had done it in the past and how maybe a lot of teams do it. Were the Eagles up when they did the Philly special?
It was tied in the Super Bowl.
Do you remember they also...
Actually, I should check. Were they down by... It was a go-ahead touchdown in the Super Bowl is all I know.
Okay.
The Philly special was the go-ahead touchdown. There's a trophy to celebrate it. It was an incredible call. Again, that's also... Red zone call. How many things can go wrong? I wonder, like, the down and distance.
Yeah. Did you know that in that exact same game, by the way, the Patriots also ran a trick play of their own to Tom Brady, who dropped a wide open pass?
I do remember that.
You remember that?
I do.
So they might have done that even immediately after.
Is throwing to Tom Brady a good idea?
In the Super Bowl or just in general?
Yeah, just in general. I mean,
they did that before, I guess, the Philly special. Probably a bad idea to throw it to, how old would he have been at that point? Even 40?
36.
Yeah, probably not the smartest idea. Especially if they're going to, I mean, if you are kind of exposing your quarterback a little bit more, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, not even just, I mean, Allen got lit up, of course, on the play on Sunday, but having your quarterback go run a route usually would expose him a little bit to, safety saw it coming, and now he blows up your quarterback. Probably not the thing you'd want to put him in harm's way with. Trick plays.
Yeah. Trick plays. There's a lot, you know, then there's, whatever. Lots of tricks. Everybody's trying to trick everybody. Play action is this, and
I again just don't
motion
know.
And wheel routes, and not like a wheel route is a trick play, but just everybody's. You're always trying to do something that they're not expecting. Kyle Van Noy though, was on Pat McAfee talking about this play, and he said he felt insulted.
Kyle Van Noy said that.
Said he felt insulted, like they were insulting the Ravens football IQ. He's like, we see Josh Allen lined up over there. We think, hey, look, what do you think? You're going to get one by us here?
Yeah.
We It's not like you can change their uniforms. This isn't Scooby-Doo where somebody else has a mask on and like, oh, turns out that's Josh Allen. That's not, you know, some receiver that's not going to throw the ball.
Yeah, he said, I almost felt disrespected. They were trying my IQ.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we won't see any more of those. I think that's fair. That's one thing that you probably will not have to worry about the Bills running that again. If you're looking at the Ravens loss and thinking, all right, what's real and what's not really worth focusing on? My guess is the trick play is probably, even though we spent, you know, 15 minutes here on it, it's not something we have to talk about as, are you concerned Brady's going to call another head scratcher? not really.
No.
That's not a major concern, I don't think. In the moment, it stunk. The next day, it stunk. He says it stunk.
His witch rating, though, I think is definitely has to be way down, right, after Sunday.
It was a rough day.
Not even just for the trick play, but, I mean, they called back-to-back screens to start the game. Just like it was a lot of – felt like they came out – we had a caller yesterday who said, you know, they should have just kept doing what they were doing against Jacksonville. I felt like they were trying to do what they were doing against Jacksonville, didn't you? Like, a lot of those out routes in the flat to Shakir, screens, short stuff. Like, I don't know. I felt like they were trying to do a lot of what they had done against a very different defense. And I started wondering as that game went on, like, do they have another go-to? Or is this just it? If you figure out Brady's screens and Brady's, you know, orbit motion, and you figure out, you know, the short stuff over the middle of the field, do you stop the Bills? Do they have a counterpunch? Right? And I didn't see much of one in that game other than Allen being able to play hero ball, you know, once in a while, which is what he did in the Shakir play.
There are a couple highlights. We talked about it yesterday with Chris Brown about free rushers, how often the I think it was with Chris, how often the Ravens got free rushers, and maybe it was Sal.
Yeah.
And saw a couple highlights of some of these blitzes that Baltimore dialed up. And you know what they did? Was they manned up the outside receivers, and they sent so many at Allen on a couple times, where what you ultimately do, Joe, is you not only pressure the quarterback, you eliminate his ability to run forward. Sure, he can extend plays, which he did, right? The completion to Shakir on the sideline, he completes that. That's a big play. He burned them a little bit on that. But if you rush enough guys and shoot enough gaps, Allen can only run backwards and sideways, and he had a couple plays where he was running backwards, like 15, 20 yards backwards. And that eliminates one of the best things Allen does, which is take off and run.
Right.
Think about his runs in this game. What were they? They were third and manageable quarterback draws up the middle when there was not a major blitz. Like, all right, snap, look around. Oh, I get 5 yards, go get it. He didn't really run that much in this game. And I think the way they took it away was by running after him first. If we get at him full speed, he won't get to come at us full speed. And I wonder how much of the game plan for Baltimore was that. It's not about, like, think about how the Bills wanted to contain Lamar. Oh, keep him there. Keep him in the pocket. And they didn't really get much pressure on him. Whereas Baltimore was run full speed at Josh Allen's face.
Right. And make him retreat.
Yep.
And then he's throwing off his back. But aren't you also, too, by doing that, forcing Allen to be on the exact same page with his new receivers? And maybe that's why Mac Hollins went 1 of 6 on targets, because, okay, here they come, and the ball's got to come out immediately, which means I've got to be in sync. Like, the receiver needs to know where this ball is going. He needs to be in the right spot. I need to be able to trust him to catch the football. Like, the ball's got to come out immediately. And at least with one of their receivers, that was really not happening much on Sunday. So it's another one of those things, though, where, like, is that a feeling out process of who Allen trusts? Because that's kind of what I would chalk that up to, where the next time they would play a defense like that, they would have a plan, they would have a guy that is going to be right there, easy button throw for Allen. Hey, if they're blitzing, this guy's going to be open underneath for you. And it just felt like that wasn't always there for him when they were coming after him and he was retreating 20 yards backwards.
Yeah. 803-0550 is our phone number. A little bit more on the Ravens game. The question I would ask is, what's the part of the game you're convinced is a nothing burger? I don't have to worry about that. That happened. I don't have to worry about a guy going off for 200 yards on the ground against his team again, whatever it might be. What's the part you think is a nothing burger we don't have to worry about? And what's the part of the game you think might be a sign of a problem? So give us a call on that. You can drop a response, and I put this on Twitter as well. The part you might think is a problem, the part you think is nothing.
Yeah, what's real and what's fake?
Yeah.
A little bit.
So we've got a bunch of responses here. Downfield passing. Lack of downfield passing.
As a real problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Versus another one, linebackers, nothing burger. Because those aren't just, there's not supposed to be your linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. Those are, to me, I think, fair responses here. We can get to McDermott. We can get to the receivers. It's
someone might have something to say about the kicker, maybe.
Sure. I think the kicker is not a nothing burger. The kicker fits in line with what has happened for the last five games.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really starting to think about that as an idea at the trade deadline, by the way. I was watching Nick Folk, who is still in the league, by the way, for Tennessee, kick him through the upright yesterday. And that's one way to... That's the one way to really clear out Bass's salary for this year, is if you trade for a kicker at the deadline and you tell the other team, like, hey, can you take Bass for us? Or we'll give you one round higher if you take Bass for us. Then you basically completely wash out the money for whoever you would get.
I've got to start researching what level of pick I'm willing to spend on a kicker. You better be good.
What would you spend for an obvious upgrade? You know you're going to the playoffs. You might need a kick at some point at a critical time. What would you spend for an obvious upgrade? That might be a good question.
I have no idea.
When's the deadline? The end of this month, I think. You wouldn't trade a fifth? You wouldn't trade a sixth?
Sure. I mean, is Davante Adams going to go for a fourth?
And they're going to trade a sixth
for
Nick
Folk? Kicker.
Right, that might not be a great look. But
803-0550, our phone number. You can give us a call, 1-888-550-2550. It is Tuesday. Sal's off today. We'll chat with Howard for Howard Picks the Bills. He's back on his regularly scheduled day here on Tuesday. Lindy Ruff tomorrow as the Sabre season opens on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So Lindy joins us from Europe, from the Czech Republic, for Czechia and Prague. So, you know, the week rolls on, and we'll talk about what you think is real and what isn't from the Baltimore game. I've already got people tweeting me about wide receiver trade scenarios, so we can weigh in on the idea of Amari Cooper, Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins. I'm a little lukewarm on the idea. Might surprise you. So we'll dig into that. Mutombo dies.
Mm-hmm.
That's my birthday bro right there.
Mutombo?
Yeah, Dikembe Mutombo, one of my birthday bros.
Yep.
He dies at 58. Pete Rose dies at 83. Which, how far apart did those news items come down? Like 20 minutes? As Mutombo died?
I think it was more than that.
Okay. Well, for me, it was about 20 minutes apart, learning from one to the next.
Because I found about Mutombo in the afternoon, maybe like noon or 1 o'clock, and then I saw the Pete Rose news like right before Monday Night Football started.
Oh, that's pretty late then, I think, for you. I think it came
Rose early. was late earlier than that?
I think so. Who knows? We're all on our own feeds.
Yeah.
All right, 803-0550 on what's real and what's not that big a deal on WGR.
Yeah, well, I just gave the game ball to somebody else, so I feel awful right now. I knew he played a heck of a game. I did not realize he was perfect. I did not know he was literally 18 for 18. But I knew he played really well. You could feel it.
Lions coach Dan Campbell, Seahawks Lions last night, Jared Goff was a perfect passer. So was Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Right? He went 1 for 1 for 7 yards and a touchdown.
How about Goff, 18 of 18, which I think was the NFL record?
It's a record for that with the yards and the touchdowns.
Okay.
292 and two touchdowns going 18 for 18.
Well, and also him catching a touchdown is probably going to make that a harder night to achieve.
NFC Offensive Player of the Week might be Jared Goff. 292 and two touchdowns and catching another one?
I think that's probably right.
I think AFC Offensive Player of the Week is going to go to Derrick Henry.
Did you still have that game on right at the end?
No.
Very strange in that they had 2 minutes left, up by 15 or 13, 15, whatever. And he's got the record. Right? Or whatever. He's 18 of 18. He has a perfect passer rating. Wouldn't you just... Let's get out of here. He's got the perfect completion percentage. We probably know that, right? Let's not have him throw another pass.
Dan Campbell saying he did not realize that.
Okay, well,
He knew he had a good day.
I wonder if Ben Johnson knew it, but Campbell didn't. Because they called up 13 with 2 minutes left, game's over, let's get out of here, in their own end zone, on their own 2-yard line, they call a play action pass and are looking to throw the ball down the field. He does not throw it. He gets sacked instead. But I saw them like, are they going to throw a pass here and cost him the, whatever, the 100%? I don't know how much they should care about it, but the game was already over. That game, by the way, was nuts. Like, it was touchdown, 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 touchdown.
Yeah.
In the second half.
The Lions look like they are back in form. Seattle looks totally respectable, but their defense had no answers last night. Thank goodness there were two games. Because in the other game, you had Tyler Huntley and Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. The one thing that would have been fun about that game was, let's see what crazy stuff Will Levis has cooked up for us this week.
And he did get hurt on a play that was, in fact, crazy.
He, like, leapt through the air to get a first down and he landed on his shoulder.
It was like a Josh Allen dive, Superman dive, crazy. He got hurt and left the game.
He also had an interception where he threw it directly to a Miami Dolphin, and they're like, it wasn't even close.
A defensive lineman who caught it with his legs.
Yes, right.
That's the Will Levis experience.
Yeah. So we even got a snippet of it. Yeah, how about a Monday night game where no player threw for 100 yards.
Oof.
There was a football game yesterday in the year 2024 where nobody threw for 100 yards. Even, you might say, well, okay, of course, Levis left early and then Rudolph came in. They combined for 102. So it's not like they were much better than that. That might count sack coverage, too. Tua looks good this morning, doesn't he?
He does. Let me give you a stat that Marcel Louis-Jacques had on the Dolphins and Titans last night. There were 61 plays in the first half of that game.
Okay.
21 of them were for 0 or negative yards.
That's amazing.
And no team took a snap inside the other's 25-yard line the entire first half.
That's amazing.
That's hard to do.
It was 9-3 at the half, I think.
Yeah. Tennessee went on to win. Tua looks better today.
Because you can't, I mean, right now, you know, again, we'll see if Huntley, who's only been there like a week, can do better than this. But, well, like, the thing that you could, it was said a lot, and I said it, was that Tua, what he does in that offense, you could have a lot of quarterbacks just plug in and play. And part of that baseline, by the way, was that McDaniel comes from San Francisco, which has a similar enough system, and San Francisco is that, where it's been over the years. You plug anybody in, you're getting at least a reasonable baseline
of production. Baseline, yes.
And in Miami, there's no baseline. Like, it is, there's nothing. There's nothing happening.
You just can't throw anybody in there. Tua looks good, but at the same time, I wonder about it this way. Like, yeah, that's right. Nobody else can run that offense. Well, maybe not nobody else. Like,
put in there, yeah.
Right, I'm sure Dak Prescott might be really perfect at that offense. You know, guys that are... McDaniel tailored an offense around to his skill set, and he doesn't have anybody with that same skill set. So, that's that. End of story. And what does it mean for the Dolphins? Like, this is a part of, how could you pay Tua $50 million a year? That's why. Because if you don't, you can't just go get... Oh, just get Tyler Huntley to run this offense. Just get Mike White. Because all of a sudden, your, you know, $60 million pair of receivers are worthless because you don't have a quarterback that can execute your anything.
That's the thing. Tyreek Hill being limited to 4 catches for 23 yards.
Every other thing you spend your money on is now, if you're Stephen Ross, worthless. Your quarterback is not available. He's looking to come back week 8. Okay, we'll see about that.
If I'm the Dolphins, though, at the same time, like, I feel like he is worth 50, and now he's also not worth 50 because I'm seeing his value on the field, and I'm also seeing that the danger of having this quarterback under contract for multiple years is at any moment, more than any other quarterback in the league, your season can just be over like that if he's out. And he...
How many teams... Right now, that's not true for Green Bay because Malik Willis went in and has played well. How many other teams would your season not be over? But if Josh Allen went out the season...
But how many other quarterbacks where he takes a single hit and you're thinking, okay, that could be it?
Sure. A lot of quarterbacks could like be taken out one hit.
But like he they had to design the whole offense around, you can't take contact because our season is over if you take hits.
He made it. That's through it. He made it through the whole season last year.
And he never took any hits.
That's right.
Because the ball was out.
Well, I wouldn't say he never took any hits. He definitely took some hits over the course of a year. He just never got concussed.
But it wasn't a lot. Like, to me, just I would feel nervy going forward, seeing what it looks like without him. When is it going to happen every other year where I just throw half a season away because Tua can't stay on the field?
Week 8 is Bills Dolphins.
Week 8?
He's It looks like week 8 might be what he's targeting a return. I saw that last night.
Against the Bills.
And it would be in Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck.
Is that the right target? Does it feel like the right target team to play against for him?
I mean, he's had a lot of concussions against the Bills. He's also played the Bills twice as much as anybody, you know, as other teams.
True.
Yeah, I don't know. Miami is obviously beyond toast.
I just think your blueprint as a team right now with him looks so flimsy when it's more at risk to be over in a flash than I think it's fair to say now. It's more at risk with him than it is with other quarterbacks.
But what's a better plan?
A better plan? Yeah, there is no better plan right now.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. What are the Tannehill? What else are they supposed to do? Draft a guy?
They could sign Sam Darnold after the year.
They could try. They could give Sam Darnold a truckload of money.
The plan should be really that they should invest more in backup quarterback than any team in the league. That's right. That's what the plan should be. Their plan should never be Skylar Thompson as our number two. Their plan should be
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco, Tyrod, anything. They need that team more than any other team cannot be Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle to start the season behind Tua Tagovailoa.
Right. Dalton couldn't go in and execute and get the ball to Tyreek Hill.
Right. Flacco probably could. Flacco looks good again, by the way. Didn't you say this yesterday? The Colts receivers or fantasy owners of like Michael Pittman probably want Joe Flacco to remain in there.
Probably.
Like, they just need a quarterback like that. That's all they've ever. And maybe that's it. They can have Tua be their starter, but you need the insurance policy with him. You can't go in like. You're a bad driver and you're renting a car. Like, I don't need the rental car insurance. Like, no, well, dude, you're a bad driver. Like, you get in more accidents than everybody else. You need the insurance.
I think the Bills insurance policy is a pretty bad one too. But they just have
The Bills have never gotten an accident.
They believe that guy is going to stay healthy.
Right.
He is, by the way, after that game, sore. That's what Sean McDermott said.
Yeah. He took a massive hit from a 320-pound nose tackle.
Yes. Are the Bills flirting with it? We are 4 games in. And he has a left hand injury, and he was blasted to the ground, stayed down for a moment, and the next day, like, he's pretty sore, but he'll be all right. Flirting with it.
Yeah.
Just you know, I don't know how long you can keep pushing your luck.
I mean, what do they do differently? Don't
Here's one thing I would say not to do differently. Don't call plays where roughing the passer doesn't apply as a rule.
Yeah.
That's what the trick play was. He becomes a runner.
He is sliding more, is he not?
I think
he's doing that, like,
I think, yes.
That hip slide kind of move, which I think he got a little, didn't he kind of get away with it last week where it looked like he was sliding 2 yards before they marked it? But I feel like he is sliding more. At least the broadcasters are certainly pointing out that he's sliding more. They love to point out that Allen is playing smarter because he's sliding.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. It is Talk It Out Tuesday. The Ravens romped over the Bills yesterday. It's funny. I don't think there was a ton of overreaction yesterday. There was appropriate reaction. It was a little bit of a smack back to earth for some. And we'll see how the Bills respond in Tennessee. Or sorry, not Tennessee.
Houston
against the Texans. It looks like Tank Dell will be back. So the Texans could have their full boat of receivers in Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs.
Joe Mixon worth watching this week too, right? Because he hasn't played in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's day-to-day at the moment.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, give us a call. What's real and what's not a big deal from that Baltimore game? We'll dig into that a little bit more. Trade rumor stuff thrown my way. A trade idea for the Chiefs. Because they are more desperate than the Bills, I think, right now. So we'll get to all that here on WGR. Got something from Matthew Berry to read you in a moment. A trade idea that is, we'll see what you think about it. Hey, join WGR's Sneaky Joe Saturday, Consumers Beverages, 2440 Clinton Street in West Seneca for a Heineken Silver event from 12 to 2 on Saturday. Stop by, register for a chance to win autographed local football memorabilia. Enjoy other giveaways from WGR 550. No purchase necessary. Heineken Silver, world-class light beer. See you Saturday at Consumers in West Seneca. So, Joe, Matthew Berry, here's an idea for you.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's kind of funny. He wrote yesterday, Where did it go?
Is this like a fantasy trade idea or like a real-world NFL trade idea?
A real-world NFL trade idea.
Okay.
Just a random idea, but I'm reading from his tweet. If Miami loses tonight, they're 1-3 in a tough division, have at least two games until Tua comes back, likely longer. It's probably not Miami's year. Tyreek Hill will be 31 in March.
Oh, no.
What's the next line? What is it?
Is the word reunion used at some point?
Trade Tyreek back to KC, who says no.
Oh, my goodness. No, please.
Tyreek Hill.
Everyone not in Kansas City. Please, no.
It would be amazing. Just as an objective NFL, like, it would be amazing. You're getting the band back together. They need help at receiver. And a couple ideas. Davante Adams. All right, ready for more drama? This is kind of nuts, but...
Oh, the like tweet?
Hold on.
No? Okay, sorry.
Yes,
sorry.
No, you're right. It's not Davante Adams liked a tweet.
Right.
The head coach liked a post.
Right.
That said Adams had played his last snap with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Antonio Pierce liked that. Now, as someone who has a general personal policy to never care about what an athlete likes on Twitter or Instagram or anywhere, the head coach liking it is a new twist.
So, I feel like I want to buy it if the coach is liking that tweet, right?
It was.
It's also not like in a vacuum. It's not by itself. He said like a week ago that
business decisions.
The comment about business decisions and will make business decisions too.
So
like,
Davante Adams could be an idea. I don't know if they trade him in division to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Other names: Amari Cooper. Mike Gennetti of SpotTrack pointed out yesterday the Browns redid Cooper's deal, restructured it. He's basically free.
Yeah.
Every team in the league will be able to afford his cap hit. It's nothing.
Right.
So he's very tradable. And if the Browns continue to go south, maybe Amari Cooper is available. DeAndre Hopkins, here are the Titans with Mason Rudolph now, with Will Levis hurt.
Yep.
Maybe that. So there's
one other name that I thought of that I think could very well happen.
Could
in
move
Kansas
somewhere.
City. Like I want to find a bet that he's going to be traded to Kansas City. He's hurt right now, but he's supposed to be back the moment he's ready from IR in 3 weeks. I think the Chiefs are going to trade for Adam Thielen. Because, one, Thielen was still pretty good. And, two, he is now vacating his starting job to a first-round rookie in Xavier Legette, who the first week Thielen was not there, looked awesome.
Does Thielen
and
play?
They're rebuilding.
Does Thielen play on the outside enough?
No, he plays the right spot, though. He plays the Rashi Rice spot.
Okay.
He plays that bigger slot. Like,
who's just going to run slants all day?
I think Thielen, though,
that's what they
typically
want.
He's been able to do everything.
They want a guy that's going to run 30 slants.
I think that's Adam Thielen. Hmm. And he'll be cheap. And he's not in the division. Because, like, Cortland Sutton would make sense, right? But he's in the AFC West. And so is Davante Adams. Like, Thielen, to me, is, like, the one lesser idea. The Hill idea is just, like, bonkers.
I might want to dig into this for the Bills as we talk about them turning the page to Houston. The Cooper idea. Amari Cooper. Should the Bills be hunting trades in that department?
Or Adams. Everyone's going to have Adams on the Jets, right?
I'm unconvinced about any of these ideas.
So everyone's going to have Adams on the Jets.
That's probably right. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.